Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Teacher, said John, we saw a man who was casting out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he's not one of us. Do not stop him, said Jesus. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth. If anyone gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ, he will certainly not lose his reward. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him that he be cast into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better that you enter life maimed than with two hands and go into hell, where the fire never goes out. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better that you enter a life crippled than with two feet to be cast into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better that you enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is never quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, my eldest son, Andy, when he was in junior high and in the beginning of his high school years, he had a thing for Big Macs. I don't care what we were going to do, what we were going to celebrate, where we were going to go. If you ask Andy, what do you want to eat? His answer was always the same, Big Mac. Big Mac, Big Mac, Big Mac. I got to the point where I threatened him a number of times. I said, you know what? Maybe next week I should just feed you Big Macs. For every meal, I'll just give you Big Macs. Big Macs for breakfast, Big Macs for lunch, Big Mac for supper. I always threatened to do that, but I never did it because I knew what that would do. It would ruin Big Macs for him for the rest of his days. He'd never want to eat another Big Mac at all. Because that's sort of the way it works, right? Then it would have been, Andy, you want another Big Mac? And he would have went, ugh. Isn't that what happens in our text for today? The Old Testament lesson? The children of Israel have been fed with manna for weeks. First they were crying, they had nothing to eat. Now the Lord has provided for them manna from heaven. But after eating manna for several weeks, there's a whole different cry comes out of them. We want meat. We want meat. We want meat. We heard him say a couple of weeks ago, they said, oh, if only we'd have stayed in Egypt, we sat around the flesh pots and we ate all the meat we wanted. But now it's not just meat, right? Now they've added to the menu things that they miss. Oh, when we were in Egypt, we had fish. We had cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. And what do we get here? We only see nothing but this manna. Manna, 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 and we're sick of manna. We got all those things in Egypt at no cost, and now we never see anything but manna. How foolish of them, right? Did you hear what they said? We got those things at no cost. How foolish. They were slaves. They were told what to do, when to do it, and where to do it. They worked from sunup to sundown, and then they said, oh, we got all those things at no cost. Yeah, they didn't have to fork over any money for them. But they had earned it by the sweat of their brows and the pain in their backs. And how faulty their memory. Oh, we had fish. We had cucumbers and leeks and melons and garlic. Yeah, but what kind of quality did they get in those things, huh? Do you think they got the best fish out of the Nile? No, they got the carp that swam at the bottom. They got the trash fish is what they got. And when they remember the melons and the leeks and all of those vegetables and fruits, do you think they got top quality? No, they got what the Egyptians threw out. They got the stuff that was 3 days gone already. They got the stuff that had mold on it, that was slimy and greasy. This is the problem, is that they don't remember the way it was. They remember the way they think it could have been. It's not only foolish, it's not only faulty, but think of the ingratitude that they're expressing here. They saw God take them out of Egypt with a mighty strong right arm. 10 plagues on Egypt, 10 plagues that finally made Pharaoh bend to God's will. And then when Pharaoh pursued them, he led them through on dry ground through the Red Sea, and they saw all the Egyptian charioteers drown. Then God takes them to a place and he gives them water out of a rock. He gives them manna every morning and still they're not happy. They're still filled with ingratitude that says, hey, you haven't done anything for us lately. They want more. But not only are they foolish, and not only are they faulty in their memory, and not only are they filled with ingratitude, but aren't they so very human? Huh? Because truthfully, aren't we like that? Aren't we sort of like the Israelites often? Yeah. How about another Big Mac? Oh, we had that yesterday. Too much of a good thing. My lovely wife, when she was pregnant 3 times, always had cravings. With the first one with Andy, I don't know how many strawberry sundaes I fed that woman. It's all she could think of, strawberry sundaes. She ate strawberry sundaes until the child was born, and then she didn't look at another strawberry sundae for a long time. With the second pregnancy with Dan, Taco Bell. Oh, I don't know how many times I ran to the local Taco Bell just before they closed because she got this craving at, 10 to 10. And I ran over there and got burritos. It was burritos. I'm quite sure that's why my 2 sons are the way they are. Andy is rather gentle and rather vanilla. And it's because he was made out of strawberry sundaes. And Dan was always the fiery one. I was pretty sure that was because he ate all those beans. With the third pregnancy, it was oranges and Mr. Goodbars. Now, I can't remember the last time I saw her eat an orange, and she never asked for Mr. Goodbars anymore because she ate those things and finally she didn't want to eat those things anymore. We're Americans, right? And we Americans tend to be a little jaded. We have so many choices. We have so much variety. We have so many distractions out there. You think about variety. Somebody who comes from a foreign land who walks into a Meijer store or a Kroger, you know, Super Kroger, they're just astounded. They just stand there and look for a while because they cannot imagine, they cannot believe the variety of things we have. Why, we don't have one brand of coffee, we have 30 brands of coffee. We have not one kind of bread, we have 50 kinds of bread. And still, we have all heard the lament in our homes, have we not? We look into a pantry that is full of stuff. And what's the lament? There's nothing to eat in this house. Yeah. Yeah. And you yourselves have been guilty of such things, I'm sure. Not only when it comes to food and things like that, but think of the glut of information we have. We have a 24/7 news cycle, and we have three or four different news channels that you can turn to at any time, and they'll be talking about something. And the problem with that is there's such a glut of that kind of information that finally we have this sense that we've heard this all before. You know, why would I listen to it again? And we have so much entertainment, so many forms of that, so many opportunities, whether it's television, whether it is the internet, whether it is Facebook, whatever it is. There's so much of that, and yet, what's the lament that I hear and the one that I make frequently? 63 channels and nothing I want to watch. We're Americans. We're sort of jaded that way. And because of that, we get bored. We get bored. And so we scout around. I'm always looking for something new. We're looking for something better, something different. And so we go and buy a new car, not because the other one is old and doesn't work, but because it doesn't have all the gewgaws and the gadgets, and I don't like the color anymore. Or we buy a new house, not because the old one no longer supported us, but because we want a sunroom, or we want a pool or something. Or we buy a new couch, not because the old one is worn out, we just don't like the color anymore. And so we buy the new couch and then we make our husbands paint the living room to match the couch. Yeah, that's the way we are, right? And unfortunately, sometimes we look for a new job just because we want a new boss. Or we look for a new spouse because we think maybe the old one just doesn't please us as much as he or she used to. That's the way we are. That's that sinfulness in us that is never quite happy, never quite satisfied, never quite sure that I'm getting everything I should be getting. That the Israelites in the wilderness, they're not a whole lot different than we are. And we're tempted to do the same thing when it comes to religion. Variety, novelty, entertainment. Those are qualities that Americans look for when it comes to church. I had to laugh a couple weeks ago. Dennis Prager, who is Jewish, had been off for a couple of days to celebrate Rosh Hashanah, the New Year. And he was talking about, somebody had sent him a clipping from a newspaper in California. Of course, everything goofy comes out of California. And he had this clipping sent to him about a Reformed Jewish rabbi out there in one of the cities of California that was offering a Rosh Hashanah celebration in which they were going to use light sticks and aromatherapy and goat yoga to celebrate Rosh Hashanah. Goat yoga, you know what that is, right? You do yoga positions with a little goat standing on your back. I don't get it. that it would only work for me if you could roast the goat afterwards. That, you know. But at any rate, what Prager laughed about is he said, there's this idea somehow that tradition, that the things that have been passed down generation to generation, that somehow that must make them tainted. And so we look for something new. We look for some new variety. And so he was laughing about this rabbi, but honestly, you see this in Christianity too. The things that they advertise, they don't advertise sound doctrine. They don't advertise a traditional understanding and a view of the Bible. No. They advertise, you know, liturgical dance or the color of their sanctuary or the size of their coffee bar. And it's nothing new. St. Paul in 2 Timothy already said, the day will come when they will no longer put up with sound doctrine, but they will, for their own purposes, gather up teachers who will teach what their itching ears want to hear. But he says, but you, man of God, stand firm. The sad thing is, if it was just that people were scouting around for another church, but I think what's more prevalent today is the apathy that comes to religion. Apathy. Not that they're looking for a different church, but they're not looking for a church at all. Because the attitude is sort of like, I've heard it all, I know it all, I've seen it all. So what more can I learn? It is the way humanity is. We see it in the Old Testament with the Israelites. We see it in our own day, in the way we are. And it's the sin in us that does that. That forgets what the truth is. Forgets what's really important. And simply desires something different. I remember Delbert Bishop. Delbert was a POW. He got shot down on his first mission on a B-17. Landed on the roof of a house with a broken leg and was taken prisoner by a German farmer with a pitchfork. And he ended up for about 5 months being a prisoner of war. And he talked about the fact that the day that he was liberated, they brought him back to a camp. They gave him a shower. They deloused him. They gave him a new uniform. And then he said, and then, Pastor, they took us to the mess tent. Now, this was a man that for 5 months had mostly, if he got anything to eat at all, it was a thin potato soup. It was moldy, dark, black rye bread, mostly dried out and crusty. They didn't get much to eat at all for 5 months. And he said, Pastor, I walked into that mess tent, and we had milk, powdered, but it was milk. And we had eggs, powdered, but it was eggs. And we had bacon. And they had toast. We had white bread. He started naming things off. He said, Pastor, I ate until I got sick and I threw up and then I ate some more. Because he had had nothing and now suddenly had all of it there in front of him. Folks, you and I have all of it there in front of us. You know, when Moses is told that Medad and Eldad or whatever his name was, they're in the camp and they're prophesying, and Joshua goes, Lord, tell them to stop. What's his response? He says, what, are you jealous for me? He said, I wish that all God's people would prophesy and that he would put his spirit on all of them. This is what we wish too. That God would put all of his spirit on all of us. Revelation 3:10 or 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto you the crown of life. Be faithful. The Lord calls you and me to hold on to the good things. Not to lay them aside because we want more variety. Not to lay them aside because we don't care. But rather to be faithful to what he's called us. To stay the course. And to rejoice in his faithfulness. Somehow it is that God never gets tired of us. And he really ought to, because it's always the same. You know, We walk the path for a while, and then we wander off because we saw something over here that looked interesting. We get back on the path, and he leads us in his way, and then we see something over here that looks good. And people have been like that from the garden on. And yet he never gets tired of us, and he never, ever loses his faithfulness because he continues to call us with that constant grace, that gift that he gives us and says, here, I have for you the things that give you life. I have for you a promise that I will keep. In the epistle, the writer of the epistle says, be patient. He says it four times, be patient. Be patient with God, and that isn't easy. Waiting for God to move things in our life is sometimes very difficult because we want answers now. We want things to be fixed now. We want to be healthy now. And it doesn't always come that way. So he says, be patient with the Lord, knowing that he loves you. And then also be patient with one another. Bear with one another. Carry one another's burdens. Be the people of God. And then he says, do not sin. Do not sin. I wish you'd have given easier orders. Do not sin. How do we avoid that? How do we avoid getting antsy, getting dissatisfied? How do we avoid sinning? Well, there's one way. You know, when people complain about, well, we always do everything the same, or I've heard it all, I've seen it all, I know it all. No, you don't. See, because we're always called, go deeper. Go deeper. Kids play little league ball. What's the next step? Well, you play ball in high school. And if you're good at that, what's the next step? You move up to college ball. And if you're really good, you might end up in the minors. And if you're really, really good, you might end up in the pros. But at every step, you got to go deeper. You got to get better. You got to hone your skills. It's no different in our faith life. Go deeper. Get into Bible study. Read that Bible. Dust it off. Get it out. Read it. See what it is. Read a couple of books by those who study that stuff. And they'll open things up for you. Man, I've been doing this now for 28 years. And I thought I knew the scriptures pretty well when I went into the ministry. Oh, I was dumb. I've learned so much more. And every time I go in a Bible class, every time I look at that word, every time I go through a book for the third or fourth time, every time I come to these readings that I've now seen eight times, I find something new. I find something exciting. I find something that makes me think, that opens up an understanding for me. So we go deeper. You don't go shallower. That's the problem with so many Christians today. Instead of going deeper, they rise up and ride across the top. Oh, this is fun. We're skimming along the top. No, go deeper. Know the Lord better. Understand more about him. Explore the depth and the breadth and the wonder of God. And then finally, folks, be thankful. Be thankful. This was the problem with the Israelites. They forgot to say, thank you. Oh, it was all we get is this manna. Manna, manna, manna. Breakfast manna, supper manna, lunch manna, snack manna. We're tired of this manna. Instead of saying, Lord, thank you for this manna. Would have been a whole different outlook on their life. And you know that the Lord would have added the quail when the time was right. And so you and I want to be thankful for all that he's given and for all that he's done. When I was a teacher at St. Paul Lutheran School in Royal Oak, Michigan, our kitchen, our cooks, got a shipment of government surplus things in. And I don't know if it was a mess up or if the government just had so many of these they had to get rid of them, but we got five cases of those number 10 cans of kidney beans. Well, pretty soon, we began to notice that we were getting kidney beans in a lot of strange places. We had a salad one day, and it had kidney beans in it. And of course, chili, that's good. You want kidney beans in chili. But do you really want kidney beans in spaghetti sauce? And then there was the day where we just got kidney beans as a side. And that was the day that the faculty got together and said to our principal, "Ron, you have to talk to the head cook. We are tired of kidney beans. Kidney beans are good, but we didn't want kidney beans every day of the week. We want God's gifts, and we want those gifts every day of the week. But it's easy for us to begin to take those things for granted and to wonder if there's something more. Is there something we're missing? Oh, folks, give God thanks for all that he pours out on us, everything that he gives, and celebrate the things of God, and go deeper into his grace, into his wisdom, into his knowledge, and celebrate the fact that great is the Lord, and great is his faithfulness. Amen.
Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you have enjoyed this morning's message. If you have a desire to know more about our ministry at Grace Lutheran Church, or if you just want to comment about our radio program, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 812-944-1267. You may also visit us on Facebook or at our website at glcna.org. We're located at 1787 Clinner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. We hope to hear from you soon. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you in his grace now and always.